You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
Welcome to the Earth Station MCU podcast, your home for all things related to the Marvel Cinematic Universe, including Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., Agent Carter, The Avengers, Guardians of the Galaxy, and so much more. Visit us at our Facebook group, Earth Station MCU, at earthstationmcu.wordpress.com, or email us at earthstationmcu@gmail.com. Hello, Marvel Universe, and welcome back to Earth Station MCU. We've got, we record on Thursdays, and we had just a ton of news and whatnot drop this afternoon. So when I was starting to get my show notes together this morning, I was like, wow, it doesn't seem like there's that much that has happened. And then bunch of stuff.
Oh my god, we have to redo everything!
Exactly, exactly. So how are you doing, John?
Well, I've been better, You know, most of our readers or listeners, I should say, might know that I live in Columbia, South Carolina.
Yes.
And we got kind of a bad situation this past weekend with lots of rain caused by Hurricane Joaquin, whose films I will never be watching again. So it's created a lot of flooding from here in the Midlands all the way down to the coast. And lots of people who lost their homes, lost their businesses, or their businesses have suffered quite an extensive amount of damage. Even the town I work for, my day job, we've got two or three roads completely shut down. We had to have people evacuated out of an apartment complex.
Wow.
So it's
you've been better. I understand.
But I did. Before it got too bad, I was able to attend, so to say, Comic-Con. It's inaugural here in Columbia. And that was, I think, a pretty good experience. Not a lot of MCU-related stuff, but I did wear my Edwin Jarvis costume around the convention. And I didn't end up having a Peggy there with me. So I ended up buying one of the Funko Pops of her and carrying it around.
That's awesome. That is excellent. Yeah, I have Peggy as my little co-pilot right here in my office, sitting on top of my my speaker. So yeah, she's
I'm gonna get one of those Jarvis as my co-pilot stickers now.
Oh yeah, totally. You have to. That's awesome. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. All right, cool. Well, I guess we can dive on in. I think the big thing that dropped today was they released a whole new slate of dates for when different stuff is coming out for Phase 3.
Yeah.
We added in a movie.
We got three dates for 2020. Mm-hmm. We don't know what movies are going to be attached to them yet. So they say it's Phase 3, but it seems like the end of Phase 3 is probably going to be
Infinity War 2.
Yeah, Infinity War 2, and then we kick off into Phase 4. At least that would be my think of her. I don't know if Inhumans comes after. I think Inhumans comes after Infinity War Part
3. Yeah.
So that might actually be the end of what we see as Phase 3, and then these movies in 2020 would kick off Phase 4. We've also got the great news that they're going to shoehorn one more movie into 2018.
Mm-hmm.
With the dual-titled Ant-Man and the Wasp.
Woohoo!
So that's going to get a sequel. Both Paul Rudd and Evangeline Lilly are confirmed to come back.
Excellent, excellent.
And it's going to be the kind of the sad thing about it is that it means that Captain Marvel has gotten pushed back to 2019.
Yeah, yeah, that's because I was reading the article. I was actually reading the article like while I was walking to lunch, and almost had one of those comic like almost walks into a lamppost thing because it was like, and this will be the first movie that has a female character in the title, and I'm like that's not right. How is that possible? And then I realized, oh, it's because they moved when when Captain Marvel's coming out.
And, you know, that may seem unfair, but at the same time, the Wasp is...
is awesome.
The first, the first female superhero of what we think of as the modern Marvel era that kicked off back in the night. Well, all right, she's not the first. That would actually be Sue Storm, but...
Mm-hmm. The first one that Marvel still has the movie rights to.
Yes, so she's the first one that Marvel has those rights to. And, of course, she is a prominent member of the Avengers. She's one of the founding members of the Avengers, mm-hmm. which, you know, made people kind of decried when the first Avengers film came out. Like, where's Ant-Man? Where's the Wasp? You know, mm-hmm. Where are these founding characters? So right. now they're going to be there, and it seems like if they're putting it before... or at least after Infinity War Part 1, mm-hmm. that the Wasp will show up as a character in that, hopefully.
Yeah, it sounds like I've heard that by Infinity War Part 2, we're going to have everybody, like Guardians of the Galaxy and the Defenders and the Avengers and right. the second Avengers team and everything, so.
Yeah, and I mean, that's certainly what we want to see, because it's going to be all hands on deck against Thanos, who's you know, the most, one of the most powerful beings in the Marvel Universe, especially when he has the Infinity Gauntlet, which we know he's after.
Right. And there've been rumors about how the Marvel Cinematic Universe will cease to exist as we know it. And some people are like, oh no. And it's like, this is comic books, you know? The universe will cease to exist as we know it happens all the time.
Yeah, I mean, and that could mean anything. It could just mean yeah. there's a new status quo going forward. It can mean that maybe the universe gets rebooted, because that's really powerful with the...
That's certainly possible with
the Infinity Gauntlet, yeah.
Yeah, and or we could just skip to another timeline, or, you know, or any number of things. So I'm not at all worried about that.
Yeah, you know, Cap comes out of the room, and... You know, Quicksilver's alive, and he's got a history class to teach. I'm like, oh, that's Days of Future Past.
But awesome. So
yeah,
we'll see how it goes. But I think that's really interesting. We've got the Ant-Man movie. For the ones that aren't announced yet, there's been a lot of speculation, and at this point, that's all we can really do is speculate. But about whether or not that's going to be a third Guardians of the Galaxy movie, or is it going to be a sequel to Black Panther or to Doctor Strange or something like that? But it's also possible that they're going to introduce a whole new character, because like you said, that's mm-hmm. I mean, at this point, we've been having what, like 6 or 7 movies per phase,
right?
I think, and is that list. I want to say when I tallied it up this afternoon, it was getting like up around 10 for all the movies that were on the schedule.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think you're right. I think they're going to have to, maybe even wrap phase 3 after, mm-hmm. Infinity War 1, and then have the ones that come after that as their own thing. So lots of cool stuff happening.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what they do, and I think one thing that a lot of people would clamor for is definitely to have a Black Widow film, and maybe something that, you know, Sebastian Stan as Bucky, or as the Winter Soldier, could be shoehorned into for that, in much the kind of the sidekick capacity that she was for Cap in Winter Soldier.
Right. Yeah, I certainly would not say no to that. I think that would be awesome. But I've also sort of learned to just I'm like, we've got Wasp getting a movie, we've got Captain Marvel getting a movie, so you know, there's I'm just so sick of fighting that fight personally.
Well, you never know what's going to happen. We can always hope, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, I saw another article about that today, about should Black Widow have her own movie, or is she better suited as a support character?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I mean, you could argue that Ant-Man's better as a support character, but we got a great movie out of that. So really, it just depends on the script.
And, you know, Scarlett Johansson's proved that she can carry an action movie as the lead character.
Yes, and in fact, this was tied in with I'm trying to think. Is it Ghost in the Shell? There's some movie that is based off of some kind of Japanimation thing.
Yeah.
That she's rumored to be getting the lead in, and people were talking about, oh, it's whitewashing and blah blah blah. Mm-hmm. And that's when a lot of stuff came up about her not having had a Marvel movie to herself. So we'll see. We'll see how it goes.
Right. But there's still plenty of time to find out. I mean, who knows? Maybe Marvel is hoping that they'll get the Fantastic Four rights back.
That's one of the things that I've heard people say. And, you know, people have said that one of the other ones is going to be another Spider-Man movie.
Mm-hmm.
And it sounded like their deal with Sony was that they would make one movie and then be able to or jointly make one movie and then have him available for cameos. But, you know, we'll see what happens. It's several years down the road at this point.
Exactly. I mean, we are talking 5 years into the future right now.
Right. So, alrighty. So, another thing that came out either, I think, yesterday or today is a new Jessica Jones trailer.
Yeah.
And the first two were, I mean, they were atmospheric, but they were, I felt like they didn't really tell us a whole lot.
Mm-hmm.
This one is super creepy.
Yep, lots of people forget how creepy David Tennant can be. I mean, they focus on his time as the Doctor on Doctor Who.
Right.
And they kind of forget about, you know, Barty Crouch Jr. and two or three other kind of very creepy people that he's played over the years.
Sure.
Yeah.
I'm trying to remember, there was one series that he was in. He wasn't necessarily super creepy, but he was a barrister, and it was a limited run series that they ended up putting on PBS. And anyway,
okay.
Yeah, I mean he's.
You're not thinking about Broadchurch, are you? The one where he's
No, not Broadchurch. I know what that is. No, and I want to say it's Prime Suspect, but I don't think it is. But anyway,
I'm sure it'll. Prime Suspect, I think, is Helen Mirren.
Yeah, that's Helen Mirren. Yeah, so I'm blanking on the name of it, but there's one that anyway, he's got one that he's in that is sort of he's playing a character that is not certainly not Purple Man level of crazy.
Yeah,
yeah, and it's, you know, I was talking with somebody who's on a lot of the ESO groups today. About the fact that we were wondering if he was going to try and do an American accent for it, or was he going to go with a Scottish accent? And he basically went with his regular Doctor Who accent, I think.
Yeah, it sounds like he's just going to stay, you know, British and kind of his vague received pronunciation accent that he used when he was the Doctor.
Right. And that was, you know, I'm not going to lie, you know, I was listening to it and I'm like, oh, Purple Man's creepy, and I'm like, this is kind of hot. But no, it's creepy. It's totally creepy.
And, you know, that's something that's been pointed out to a lot, especially by people who are more familiar with the comics, trying to kind of send that message to Tennant's fangirls. Like, no, you don't want to be with the Purple Man. You don't want to romanticize the Purple Man.
Right.
This guy is controlling, manipulating. He's a rapist. He is
exactly.
Just every horrible thing you can imagine wrapped up into one bad guy. And of course, with his kind of his mental powers, he can basically make you do whatever horrible thing he wants.
Right. He's a complete nutcase. And so I've been going at this completely from the, you know, he's completely creepy and bad and everything. But that, damn it, I was listening to it today and I'm like, that's, you know, I know what this guy is capable of,
yep.
But there's going to be an awful lot of ladies and gentlemen, I'm sure, that are used to a certain Tennant persona that are going to be very, very shocked.
Or you never know. I mean, it may be the same people who go and watch 50 Shades of Grey.
Well, you know, there's...
And still find that attractive, despite it's obvious not...
Right. And there's certainly, you know, a point to be made there about there's a difference between, you know, in terms of 50 Shades of Grey, of, you know, a healthy domination submission relationship and a crazy controlling one. But
of course, Purple Man tends more towards crazy controlling.
Exactly. But it'll be interesting to see. I mean, the thing that I've been thinking from the get-go with this is that, you know, after we, you know, at first it was like, well, they're not going to really go there with a TV show.
Mm-hmm.
But after we saw the level of violence that we had in Daredevil.
Yep.
I think they may very well go there. So
yeah, it could be something else. It could be something that a lot of people aren't ready for.
Right. And it at least looks like he does survive through the end of this season, because it looks like he's going to be at least in one episode of Luke Cage. So
So
we shall see how that goes. Speaking of other famous Marvel bad guys, Tom Hiddleston made a comment about why it was that Loki was cut from Age of Ultron. And I thought it was kind of interesting because basically as soon as Loki showed up on screen, the test audiences thought that he was behind everything and that he was actually in charge of Ultron. And it's like, no.
It's because people like Loki so much, they have to assume Loki is scheming
everywhere. Right. And it ended up very much upstaging the actual real bad guy of the film, and so I completely understand why they would make that choice.
I mean, if anything, it's Thanos who's scheming and causing everything to happen. But
well, right, yeah.
I mean, he's even the power behind Loki in the first Avengers movie.
Really interesting.
Well, yeah, interesting. I mean, because you remember at the end.
That's true. Yeah, I mean, technically behind him.
The staff and the Chitauri came from Thanos.
Right.
So
yeah.
Thanos is basically using Loki as a pawn to get a hold of the Tesseract.
Yeah. Yep, you're absolutely right. Mm-hmm. So there's also been an announcement about damage control. Do you want to tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, damage control was it's a more humorous book from Marvel staple. And it's about a company called Damage Control that essentially does all the cleanup work after the big superhero battles happen.
Uh-huh.
And so ABC is adapting that now as a kind of more of a comedy show.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it sounds like a really cool thing, but it sounds like as a, you know, limited run, like 8-episode thing that could work, but I don't know. I mean, Marvel continues to surprise me, but I just don't see that as having a lot of legs in terms of being able to have continually interesting stories.
And Damage Control is never a series that's ever lasted too long in the comics.
Right.
I mean, of course, the same could be said for any incarnation of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. after Jim Steranko's Nick Fury Agent of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Mm-hmm.
So yep. Hopefully the current comic book series lasts a long time as well, but you know that remains to be seen.
Yeah, I mean, I'm hoping that with the crossover from the show, and there's been enough going on. I think that I'd be interested to see what if somebody has any of the stats on it, how many of the comic book titles are picking up in sales from the movies and TV stuff.
Right, and you also have to wonder, I mean, with the same kind of issue that Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and Agent Carter suffer from with what characters can they use.
Right.
You know, what characters can be used in Damage Control? I mean, I doubt anyone who's been in the comics is ever going to be a major part of a Marvel film, but, you know, do you get cameos? Do you get, like, more minor heroes showing up? Does you know, Robert Downey Jr. drop by in a pilot or something.
That would be surprising, but you never know.
Yeah, exactly.
It could happen.
Because keep in mind who we've gotten in Agent Carter and Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. even just for cameos. You know, you've gotten Nick Fury, you've got Maria Hill, you've gotten, why am I blanking? You've gotten
Toby
Zola.
Jones' character.
Yeah.
Yes, Zola, that, yeah.
So, you know, anybody could surprisingly show up, but you know you can't expect Hawkeye to drop in on a regular basis.
Right, exactly.
Even though he wants to show up in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
So I've heard, and you know, and that would be cool, but I think that cameos need to be limited because you don't want, you want the stars of that show to shine and to be their own thing and not have them getting dwarfed by these big characters that come by, so.
Right.
Let's see, we have had some announcements about writers and directors. They have selected somebody to be the director for Ragnarok.
Yes. And, I'm trying to remember his name right off the top of my head.
I'm pulling it up. I think it's interesting because, you know, yet again, they haven't gone with a name that people were like, oh yeah, it's that guy. His name is, Taiki Waititi.
Yeah, he's a New Zealander.
Yeah.
He was actually one of the directors from the Flight of the Conchords, if you remember that.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's a pretty hilarious series, and it seems like most of his work has been in more of kind of a comedy genre. Mm-hmm. So it'll be interesting to see what role he goes with in that, because Thor hasn't really had a comedy director before, you know.
And Ragnarok definitely seems like serious stuff.
Yeah. But then again, remember Anthony and Joe Russo also directed a lot of Community.
Oh, that's true. That's true.
Before doing Captain America: The Winter Soldier, and kind of the same attitude at first of, wait, a comedy guy is doing this serious superhero movie?
Well, yeah. Not to mention Jon Favreau was the director of Elf.
You know? Exactly.
So yeah, it certainly could work. I think it's neat that he does have a little bit of a past with comic stuff because he was actually in Green Lantern with Ryan Reynolds.
Yes, but we won't hold that against him.
Yes, I know, but I just think it's you don't have a lot of actor directors that get tapped for this kind of thing. So I'm looking forward to seeing what they do with that. And then the other big announcement in terms of people getting hired for stuff was, I believe they've selected somebody to do Black Panther.
Yes, right? Joe Robert Cole. He doesn't have a lot of credits to his name at this point, so it's almost like you said, it's kind of like a left field casting decision or left field hiring decision.
And to be clear, I was. The other one was the director. This guy is going to be the writer for Black Panther.
Yes. We still don't have a director for Black Panther yet. And, you know, we talk about getting kind of lower-named guys, and I think that might come back to some of that creative control that Marvel wants to exert, because we've seen with Ava DuVernay, she turned down Black Panther because Marvel wanted to have a lot more control in it. And, you know, some of your bigger-named directors want it to be their show. They don't want somebody stepping in doing some kind of executive meddling.
Right.
Even though it's all for the betterment of the whole universe and the inclusiveness of the whole universe.
Right. And although, you know, I'll be interested to see if any of that changes with the switch from reperlmutter to Perlmutter to reporting directly up to Disney.
Right.
Because I know that a lot of people had said that he was one of the sort of chief meddlers. So, so yeah, but things are definitely coming together. I know you and I had mentioned that it now makes sense why Kevin Feige had made comments about, well, we're really not in a hurry to cast Captain Marvel because they're pushing it off for another year. So.
Although I wouldn't be surprised if we heard an announcement for a director soon now that we've got a writing announcement, because even though Captain Marvel got pushed back for Ant-Man and the Wasp, Black Panther actually got pushed up.
Yes.
So now that's going to come out in February rather than summer. And it certainly seems like February is getting to be more of a kind of like a new movie month than it
used to be. I mean, because you normally think of that as being, you know, like May to start off the season and July for the big tentpole movies in December. And Marvel is staying out of the Christmas movie market for the most part.
Right. I mean, we've still got things coming around in November, but, you know, it's even Fox is getting in on it because that's February of this next year is when Deadpool is going to come out.
Right. Yeah, that'll be interesting to see how those do, because that's not traditionally a super heavy attended season.
Right.
So, Yeah, I mean, it's easy to look at that and say, oh, well, they're dumping their movie that they don't think is going to do as well then. But we'll see how it goes.
Yeah, it's never been true in the past, but of course with a Marvel film, you know, there hasn't really been a commercial flop yet.
Right, yeah. I mean, I think Thor the Dark World is probably the least successful, I would guess. I'll have to look that up. But,
yeah, and then again, that's like, you know...
I mean, and yeah, like a failure for Marvel is still better than what anybody else can do. So.
Right, especially if you're Fox.
Right, oh. Right. Oh, so sad. So sad. And then finally, well, not quite finally, but we've got a release date, possibly, for the Ant-Man DVD.
Yes, it's at least Amazon UK is floating a November 30th as the release date. So things tend to be a little bit different. Sometimes they release sooner in the UK than the US, so it could be a couple more weeks after that. I would think that they definitely want to tap into the holiday market.
Right, right.
And, you know, you can always kind of follow when one movie release comes out, when you can expect the next one. And, mm-hmm. of course, for Age of Ultron, it was just about a week ago.
Right.
From
right.
Marvel, or from onto DVD and Blu-ray, and, of course, mm-hmm. a month before that onto digital platforms.
Right.
So we'll probably see Ant-Man released digitally, I'd say, sometime in early to mid-November, and then early December, I'd say, is probably going to be the U.S. release for Ant-Man.
Mm-hmm. That would be cool, definitely. And then we've got Dub Smash Wars. We've got another entry into that.
Yep, both teams have submitted their final round three videos featuring everybody in their cast and their crew. Mm-hmm. And, you know, no real big surprise cameos there, but it's just nice that they wrapped up, including everybody who helps make their shows possible.
Right.
And Agent Carter...
I think Clark Gregg said something about this is the Where's Waldo shot, where you're like, yeah. Oh, there's that guy. And
unfortunately, like using cell phone cameras like they do, it's kind of hard to pick certain people out.
Sure.
You know, you can pick out the guy that plays Lincoln, and you can pick out Mac, and you can pick out May and a couple other folks, but it's kind of like you almost have to squint and be like, is that Brett Dalton? Is that
or Inver? Just some other tall guy? Yeah.
Like, do I see Anne in there? Like, I don't know.
and then we've also got they're talking about doing lip sync battle after.
Yeah,
that.
They're gonna go. Clark and Haley are gonna go on lip sync battle and battle against each other. And that's a show. I think I want to say it's on Spike or somebody, but it's hosted by LL Cool J, and it's essentially exactly what you would think it is. It's
right.
It's lip syncing to songs and doing kind of like an active performance.
Right, right. Mm-hmm. I think that will be cool because you know it's one thing to do, you know, a 10-second lip sync, but I'll be interested to see what they can pull out to do a full-blown thing.
Absolutely.
So, all right, cool. I think that wraps us up for news. Did you want to make an announcement about the charity for South Carolina?
Sure. If you want to go to www.seemd.org, that's the South Carolina Emergency Management Division. They have links on their website for various charities and causes that you can give to help support flood victims. They have lists of necessary items. I mean, anything like as simple as toiletries or clothes are certainly welcome. But do check the website at www.seemd.org. And we'll be posting the link up on the page later for you to find. And just, you know, try to help out with whatever you can, because some of these people have lost everything.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And interestingly, I was just going in and poking around with the analytics and whatnot for the show, and I was very surprised that the area that we have the most people listening from is sunny California. So shout out to all of our listeners in California. But after that, definitely our biggest area is here in the Southeast, in Georgia and the Carolinas.
And I'll apologize to our California listeners. I think what we got was meant for you guys.
yes.
And I'm sorry, I don't know how to put a return address label on and ship the rain to you.
Yes, yes. If only that were possible. All right, cool. So we'll definitely let folks know about that. And now we're going to take a very short break, and when we come back, we will be talking all about this week's new Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. episode, The Purpose in the Machine.
The following is fully endorsed by the Needless Things Podcast and NeedlessThingsSite.com. There's just one place to go for all your podcast needs. Needless Things Podcast. Needless Things Podcast. A giant podcast of dorkery for every occasion. Thousands of subjects in every shape, size, and color. And because we eliminate the middleman, we can cast all of our pods factory direct to you. Where do you go when you want to hear about toys, movies, music, and TV? Needless Things Podcast. Needless Things Podcast. And this weekend only, take advantage of our special liquidation sale. All episodes are absolutely free. Don't forget, they make great Christmas presents. And what better way to say I love you than with the gift of a Needless Things Podcast. Needless Things Podcast. Needless Things Podcast. Hello, this is Phantom Troublemaker, president of NeedlessThingsSite.com. I like the podcast so much, I bought the company. Needless Things Podcast. One location. We're on Podbean under Uncategorized. My, where did you get that lovely podcast?
Needless Things Podcast. We talk dorkery. And that's all!
Welcome back, everybody. So, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is off to a very good start. We had a fantastic opening episode for the season, and we were all kind of wondering how long it was going to take to resolve the situation with Simmons and finding out about May and all kinds of things, and they're booking right along.
Yeah, I mean, just about everything we didn't deal with in the first episode was dealt with in this episode, such as getting Gemma back, seeing what's happening
with May,
seeing where Ward is and what he's up to.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Absolutely. So yeah, there was a lot going on. We had there was, of course, the Simmons thing, of course, but before we could get to the actual Simmons part, we brought in a guest starring as Guardian Professor.
Yep. Peter McNichol's back as Professor Randolph.
I really like that guy. I just think that he is fun, a fun character actor, and it's a neat character. I know that there's been some reviews of the episode that have been down on him and have said that, well, he was just completely unnecessary. But I think he added a different element than we're used to with that, and it's
he does,
you know,
and of course, like, he's a different kind of Asgardian than we see. Everybody comes
Thor
in speaking the fluent kind of Shakespearean English,
right?
And of course, he's been on Earth for a few hundred years and has assimilated, so he just talks like a normal person,
right? An American as opposed to a Brit. So
right.
I guess you stay on Earth for.
Oh
too
yeah,
long
I don't mean that.
Yeah,
I don't mean. The American accent is normal. It's more like he doesn't try to speak as formally,
right? Fair
as say Thor or Sif or
right
anybody
right, exactly.
else.
So I thought he was a lot of fun. I thought it was a nice touch that they he seems like a very nerdy kind of character. That's the type that he usually plays. But then again, he picked up his jail cell door and just ripped it off the hinges. So not completely a little wuss.
Yeah, and of course he's only in jail because, you know, he likes it there and he's trying to keep a low profile.
Exactly. And understandably so. You know, he made the point that, you know, with all the stuff been going on, you know, especially with Age of Ultron and before that Avengers, you know, it's not a good time to be an alien. I don't know that there is a good time, but now especially.
I do love the moment when, you know, after he rips the door off and, of course, the guards come running in because it's triggered the alarm.
Mm-hmm.
He just goes back to Coulson like, he did it.
Yep. And Coulson, interestingly, he has come a long way from where he was when we started this series because there's in that one. There's the thing where he's like, yeah, well, you know, there are lots of people that would love to dissect an Asgardian. And the guy's like, are you threatening me? And he said, well, it's more of No, that is totally a threat, actually.
Yeah, no, I'm definitely threatening you.
Exactly. And also when Hunter's about to go off on his word hunting mission, and Bobby was like, hey, don't get yourself killed. And he says, yeah, I won't. And then, Coulson says, but make sure that he does. I mean, that's, you know, for the longest time, he was very much a, you know, let's take the high road here and, you know, not be violent if we can avoid it. And he's he's over that now.
Yeah, we're definitely seeing a much darker Coulson. I remember reading that the costume designers like actively sought not to put Coulson like in a black suit to kind of show that he wasn't dead, that he was alive. But now everything is trending back towards darker shades of gray and black in his outfit.
Well, not to mention he's been wearing less, you know, ties. He's been wearing more like field operations outfits.
He's certainly been a lot more casual, which is a different look for him. And I found out the jacket that he wears is essentially something I'm never going to be able to afford in a million years. If I can even find it, because it comes from a company where everything's at least about $300 or more.
Right. Like so, the doctor's Crombie coat or something.
Yeah, so it's gonna be kind of searching for a similar substitute.
Sure. but so yeah, that was definitely cool. We got to see a little bit of what May is up to, and I love the actor that was playing her father.
Yeah, James Hong, who is he's one of those guys like. You know, you've seen him in multiple things before.
And you're like, it's that guy from that thing.
Yeah, I mean, like most people, if you've never seen Big Trouble in Little China, you have to.
Right.
He's the ultimate bad guy in that. You know, anytime you need kind of an older Chinese actor, he's usually the go-to man.
Mm-hmm. And he was also in Mulan with Ming Na Wen, so.
Yes, and I love that... He is, he's basically like, he's wearing his same outfit almost from the film R.I.P.D.
Oh yeah, that's true.
Yeah, it's, for those who didn't see it, and you don't really need to, Ryan Reynolds plays a cop who dies, and in the afterlife becomes kind of a law enforcement officer who prevents horrible, nasty things from crossing over from the afterlife to the real world.
It's sort of a Men in Black on the other side kind of thing.
Right. And, you know, he and his partner, who's played by Jeff Bridges, they operate in the real world, but they don't appear as themselves. They appear as other people. And Jeff Bridges' character appeals as a very attractive blonde woman. And Ryan Reynolds' character appears as James Hong.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So, and he's wearing almost the same outfit, kind of like the members only jacket, the hat, the khaki pants,
yep.
The whole shebang.
That's awesome. Mm-hmm. So yeah, we've seen what's going on with May. It sounds like she'll probably end up going along with Hunter on his mission to go after Ward.
Yeah, we definitely saw that at the end.
Yeah, and man, I gotta hand it to Brett Dalton, and to the writers, because, you know, Ward was, when Ward first came on the show, I, you know, used to call him like Captain Whitebread, because it was like, oh my god, he could be any other, you know, procedural cop show guy in a suit, you know, who's badass and is, you know, great. But,
he can shoot the wings off a fly at 40 yards. Exactly.
And it was like, okay, whatever, this guy has no personality. And then as soon as he did his heel turn, it was like, oh my god, this guy is awesome. And in seeing Ward go from somebody who was a loyal follower, who was basically just, you know, hero-worshipping Garrett, and seeing him come into his own and become the new big bad, I think has just been awesome.
Yeah, and now, of course, he is, he's taking on the Garrett role for Wernher von Strucker.
Right. Mm-hmm. And I wondered if that was the way that was gonna go, because it's like, really? Is what he wants to get the guy's passwords and steal his money? And I was, you know, I feel like I kind of figured it out just, you know, a couple minutes before they actually revealed it. And I'm like, no, wait a second. He's pushing him to see if he can, he can recruit him to his side.
Yeah, so it was kind of win-win for Ward, because on the one hand, if he doesn't turn, well, then we kill him and get his money.
Mm-hmm.
If he does turn, then we still get his money, but exactly. We also get a new, you know, a new leadership.
Right, exactly. And it's very much the same kind of, you know, manipulative head games that Garrett used on him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and you saw him doing that.
He brings tacos after he passes the test.
Exactly. And he's even doing that, you know, when we see him in the garage with the guy on the windshield. It's right. Very much a head games kind of thing. So he's definitely, I mean, you got to say he's learned from the best. And so I'm really excited to see where that's headed.
Mm-hmm.
We also had Maze X Dr. Andrew come back.
Yep. And, I'm all for more Blair Underwood.
Yep, he's super cool.
Yeah, and from what we saw with May, especially, you know, because we know that her father was in a hit and run,
mm-hmm.
and of course May suspects that's Ward trying to get back at her.
Right.
But what Ward's real plan is to infiltrate Werner with Blair Underwood's in Blair Underwood's psychology course.
Yeah, exactly, because
right.
he's also a professor. As well as being a consulting psychiatrist for S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yep.
And yeah, we saw at the very end with him getting his drop ad slip signed to get into his class.
Yeah, so you know, not creepy at all, the dialogue that Werner gives there. It's like, oh, you wouldn't believe how crazy my family is.
Yeah. I mean, it was right on the line for me between creepy and cheesy, you know.
Yeah.
Like, blah, ha, ha, I
you would almost expect him to kind of pick up on that and be like, wait, what?
Yeah, exactly. You would think that somebody who's has as much insight into personality. But we'll see. We'll see.
Yeah.
Definitely. I know as a college professor, you've got so many things on your mind that you're maybe not always in tune with that kind of thing. But yeah, we'll see where that goes. And then, of course, the big thing was getting Simmons back. And
yep.
Oh my
God. Simmons back together again.
Yes, and in a weird, like, volcanic mud pit thing at the end there.
Yeah, I'm not even sure how that all really worked, other than apparently you bring the monolith into together with the pit, and getting Daisy to vibrate everything means it turns into a portal.
Right. And rather than being a liquid, it's now just like a crumbly, you know, sandy kind of thing.
Yep.
But boy, that was a heart stopper there with them.
I know.
You know, him letting go of her, and I was totally on the edge of my seat and going, no!
And that's what I was afraid of, because it was just so Whedon to, like, give us hope, then kind of yank it away from us,
yep.
then give it back again.
Yep. So, yeah, I was fully expecting him to lose her and then be like, okay, well, it's going to be a while before we get her back. But, yeah, that was awesome.
And, you know, Fitz, meanwhile, would descend further into the mania of trying to get her back.
Right.
Yeah, they seem to have wrapped that up very, very carefully. And I think something that we talked about,
mm-hmm.
you said that, you know, last season it was his turn to be broken. Now it's hers.
Yeah.
Because we've obviously seen that the months that she's had to spend surviving out on that alien world has certainly given her a level of PTSD.
Yeah, I mean, you know, that's something that I wondered if they were going to say that, like, time moved differently there or something like that, and
mm-hmm.
maybe it hadn't actually been, you know, months for her. But, you know, you have to say, you know, how is she getting food? How is she getting water? You know,
I mean, she'd obviously been there for a while, because, you know, you get the traditional "I've been marooned" look of your clothes being ripped all to shreds.
Right. But and I'll be interested to see if they bring back if they tie it back in with that flashback scene at the beginning of the episode where you had the guys from the 1830s who apparently drew lots once a year or something and made somebody go through the portal. because that's what was apparently going on there. And what happened to those guys? Did they, you know, set up a civilization there, or what's going on with that?
Yeah, or were they just simply not able to survive in the long run?
Right, right. You know, did she find a shelter that they had built hundreds of years ago and stay in that?
I suppose those are answers that we'll get next week when we find out kind of the extent of
the mental
and emotional damage and, you know, the specifics of how she survived in that environment.
Yeah, although in it doesn't seem like she could have been that far away because he fired the flare gun through and then he grabbed her like a minute later. So,
it would have been probably a wise thing for her to stay nearby to the area in case of rescue.
Yeah, but, you know, as long as she has food and shelter and everything nearby, it seems like it was a great coincidence that she happened to be right there.
Right.
But yeah, that was, you know, when he was saying, I need more light, you know, I'm thinking, okay, well, he just wants a flashlight so he can see what's going on. But yeah, the flare gun was brilliant because that way there was a reason why she was right there when he went through.
Right.
And that was just a really cool scene because we got to see, you know, Daisy figuring out, you know, another use of her powers and, you know, just the whole team coming together to do something.
Mm-hmm.
So that was not a gunfight or something. There really wasn't, actually come to think of it, there really wasn't much for fighting in this episode.
No, not really. And of course we didn't see any more of Lash.
Right.
And we get back to Lincoln next week and as well as the ACTU.
Mm-hmm.
So we're definitely going to make up for that next week with more fighting.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. But yeah, I thought this was, they had a lot of stuff going on. I mean, I'm just thinking back to, it seemed like there were so many episodes, certainly first season, but some last season too, where I was just like, I don't really know where this is going. I'm not super invested in this. And I'm just incredibly impressed with their first two episodes out of the gate for this.
Agreed.
So I guess it's time to do a rating. So, if we are rating this episode on a scale from 1 to 5 shields, with 1 being terrible and 5 being best episode ever, where would you place this on the scale?
I would give this a 4.
Okay.
It was kind of almost like a slower episode, especially compared to the season premiere, which any second episode is going to slow down a bit.
Sure.
But it gets the time marks for Peter McNichol coming back as a guest star, and of course for Simmons being rescued, which
sure.
such a high charged emotional scene. You know, it was everything I could do not to, like, all caps start yelling on Facebook.
I know.
Like, I'm respecting the 24-hour rule.
But OMGZ! Yes, exactly. I'm going to go with a 4.5 for this because, I absolutely agree. I think that there was a lot of great stuff. And I'm just very happy with where they're taking the Ward plotline. I was one of those people going, please, please do not turn this into an easy, you know, 3-episode arc redemption thing for him. And Ward is just absolutely embracing his bad guy status.
Mm-hmm.
And, I'm very happy with where that's going. I loved Peter McNichol. He's just somebody I love to see as a guest star. And I loved getting a little bit more of May's background too.
Right.
You know, again, this was not a high action episode by any means, but it was, there was a lot going on and there was a lot of character development and getting, you know, more insight into, you know, why people are the way that they are.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I would definitely put this one at a solid 4.5.
Cool.
All right. And, so yeah, as you mentioned, we've got stuff coming up next week with getting back to the sort of the other plot lines that we put on hold this week. So that will be fun. I'm looking forward to that. And you know, we never know what's going to come up news-wise. It seems like, you know, every day that we're going to be recording, I'm going, well, is there really that not much that has happened? But But yeah, so it's exciting. I'm very much looking forward to seeing where they go with this. And by the way, hello to all of our new listeners, because our numbers have just gone crazy in the last month. So whether you met with us at Dragon Con or have heard about us through word of mouth, it's great to have you here, and we would love it if you would pop over onto iTunes or Stitcher or wherever you find your fine podcasts and give us a rating, because that is always something that helps us in terms of getting more publicity. So
yeah, we definitely appreciate you guys.
Absolutely. You guys are awesome. And you know, get involved with our Facebook group too, because we all the stuff that we talk about on the show, we post about on the boards as well. So you get the information a little bit earlier than you would just listening to the show. So all right, great. Well, I'm looking forward to next week, and I guess we will sign off for this week, and we will see you in a week. Earth Station MCU's logo is by Mr. Mike Faber, and our show is produced by me, Jennifer Hartshorn. We would like to thank all of our listeners and all of the online groups that let us promote our episodes, including Marvel Cinematic Universe, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Cosplayers, Welcome to Level 7, the Dragon Con American Sci-Fi Group, the other Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., and Metro Atlantic Geeks on Facebook, as well as Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., Marvel's MCU, and Marvel's Agent Carter on G+. Visit our webpage at earthstationmcu.wordpress.com or join the conversation on our Facebook group, Earth Station MCU.
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network, your station for all things geek, classic, current, and beyond. Be part of the crew at esonetwork.com.